Welcome to CFRI's Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Hello, my name is Megan Shimbashi, and I am a researcher here at Stanford's Cystic Fibrosis Research Lab, which is directed by Dr. Jeffrey Wine. So I currently run the lab's project on quantifying CFTR ion channel function in human subjects, which can be anyone from carriers to CF patients to normal healthy people. And we do that by looking at sweat rates. CF is a primarily Caucasian disease, so I grew up without any awareness to CF. It wasn't until I first learned about it through my classes here at Stanford. I was an undergraduate here, and we learned about CF in my physiology class, and it got me really interested in CF. And as I was looking for opportunities to continue doing research after graduating, this position just happened to be open. So I applied and got to know Dr. Jeff Wine and Nam Su, and through that, just really got involved in the CF community, got involved with CFRI, got to attend the conference, got to go to the CF Foundation's most recent conference in Denver, and through that, just really solidified my passion for research in this field, and it's something that I think I want to continue in medical school. So we look specifically at sweat rates in our human subjects. So sweat glands are an ideal organ for assessing CFTR ion channel function because they're both readily accessible and don't really suffer from any of the secondary changes that we see in CF, like the lungs. So using sweat to assess CFTR function is something that's pretty widely accepted in the CF community. A good example of its application is the MacReduct test, which we use to evaluate sweat chloride. And CF centers all around the world use it to diagnose CF patients. However, that method is rather limited in that it becomes less sensitive as sweat chloride values increase, which means that it can't distinguish between CF carriers and healthy people. So that's where our sweat tests come in. So in the body, there are two divisions of the autonomic nervous system, the cholinergic and the adrenergic. And in the 1980s, Sato and Sato discovered that CF patients cannot sweat in response to adrenergic stimulation, but can respond to cholinergic stimulation. And healthy people automatically respond to both. So this gave us insights that the adrenergic pathway is CFTR dependent, whereas the cholinergic pathway is CFTR independent. And by looking at the ratios of the two types of sweat stimulated by the two types of pathways, we can essentially get a near linear readout of CFTR function, which is fantastic. It has lots of applications. A good one is looking at how effective CFTR modulators are in CF patients. By being able to see how much sweat is restored by these CFTR modulators, we can essentially personalize medical treatments for them and alter medications and dosages in a way that works best for every patient, which is great. So currently, right now, I'm testing healthy individuals. In the past, we were comparing our CF sweat rates to normal people, healthy individual sweat rates, but we were assuming that normal people had 100% CFTR functioning sweat. However, we found out that there is actually a wide range of CFTR function even among healthy individuals. So that's what I'm trying to determine right now, is how much CFTR function does a normal person need to be healthy? That way we can better work with CF patients and help the development of better CFTR modulators. I think what motivates me is really the potential to have such a big impact on CF patients' lives and just really being an integral part of helping them live about as normally as they can. I recently met a CF patient who I was testing through my sweat tests, and she wanted to be a veterinarian. And she was really afraid that her condition would really hold her back from being able to pursue her dreams. And she had recently started taking a CFTR modulator. So we did the sweat test for her, and she was really excited to see that she was sweating in response to the CFTR-dependent drug, which is a clear indication that the modulator was working. So it just gave her this peace of mind that, you know, there are medications available to really help her out, and that we were able to help her realize that and to actually show her was really meaningful to me. And I'm excited to say that that patient is applying to veterinary school right now. So just being able to really be on the front lines of that and interact with patients and interface with them and help them realize that they can live their best lives is really inspirational for me. So I recently went to the CF Foundation's meeting in Denver which is like the North American Cystic Fibrosis Conference, where all the researchers around the world talk about their latest developments in CF research. And they're telling me that the latest upcoming drugs, the triple combos that are coming up, could potentially help 90% of CF patients restore CFTR ion channel function, which is great. I think that's amazing that 90% of patients will be able to have, or they're anticipated to have functional ion channels within the next few years or so. And now the next focus of research should not be on making better modulators, but now preventing inflammation and infection in these patients. And I'm really excited that we've kind of passed that first step, and now we're moving on to the next step. So we've kind of fixed the underlying problem. Now we're going to move on to the next step of helping to manage their symptoms, which I think is huge. I think our sweat tests would be helpful for people with nonsense mutations and people who aren't able to make the protein at all, because we would provide a good assay to really test any new techniques that are coming out. I know there's a lot of excitement about techniques like CRISPR-Cas9 and bringing a healthy gene into these people. People have anticipated that that might be healthier, or not healthier, easier than trying to fix whatever the patients have themselves. By bringing in a new one, they might be able to produce the protein. So a good way to test that, how effective it is, would be to give them a sweat test. It's relatively cost efficient compared to other methods, and it's really sensitive, as we found out. So I do think that it'd be useful for fine tuning any methods that might come around. So basic science research is absolutely crucial for developing new medications and treatments, especially for diseases like CF. I was mentioning earlier that there are two branches of the autonomic nervous system that control sweating, the cholinergic and adrenergic, but there's no way we would have found that out without basic science research. So we definitely need someone on the front lines of developing the basic knowledge that's needed to develop medications. It is important so that we can get a better understanding of the fundamental science behind the disease so that we can better work to treat it. I personally think that the next focus of CF research should be directed to inflammation and infection reduction and helping the 10% of people who won't probably benefit from these new modulators that are coming out, people with nonsense mutations and more rare mutations. Just because we're able to fix CFTR ion channel function with the modulators doesn't mean that the bacterial infections are magically going to go away. We'll need to develop better medication to help them fight infection and inflammation so that they'll not only have better ion channel function, but also have a better quality of life. Well, for me personally, I was really interested in the science behind CF, but I didn't really become involved, like emotionally involved, until I attended the CFRI conference in Redwood City this past year. And it was by really being able to meet not only CF patients, but their loved ones, their significant others, their families, and all the struggles that they've overcome, that it really hit home for me that there are a lot of people out there that are suffering from this disease and that they're pretty invisible. I didn't realize how many people around me actually suffered from CF until I got involved in this field. Like, a lot of my close friends have siblings with CF that they didn't tell me about until I told them that I was going into CF research, or complete strangers and acquaintances, I guess, started coming up to me because they heard that I was involved in CF research. And just the sense of community that I got from the CF community and the immense amount of support that they have for each other made me want to contribute to that even more. I think giving people the opportunity to interface with people affected by CF, like I was, would be really beneficial for them. It'd be great if we could get people to attend conferences like CFRIs, or maybe host publicity events where people can come meet family members of CF patients, or CF patients themselves if they're really healthy, or hosting events where CF patients can talk about their own struggles and how they've overcome them. There was this one guest speaker at the CFRI conference where she talked about her own struggles about overcoming CF that I found was really meaningful, and that I want to be able to make sure that other CF patients can have a similar experience as her of overcoming their struggles.